Welcome back to another episode of Grounded. I am your host, Piper Smith, joined by my co-host, Gunnar. Gunnar, how's it going today?
Oh, man, it's going very good. It is officially summer here up in Minnesota, which is really exciting. The garden is absolutely exploding right now. So everything's going great. How about yourself?
It's been summer in Florida for as long as I can remember. So we're just hanging in there, staying warm. And speaking of warm, we've got a special guest with us today from our partners at Kapali Rum. We're super excited. Will, hello and welcome. Why don't you introduce yourself to everyone?
Hey. I'm glad to be here. Finally, we're here. And it's a happy day. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Will Mejia. I'm from Southern Belize and I work in the cane fields that make the one and only carbon negative rum, Kapali.
Amazing. Will is calling in from Belize today. So closer to Florida, I think, than it is to Gunnar.
Yeah, but I must say, I went to Minnesota a couple of weeks ago, and man, I was pretty impressed. It's a beautiful place, beautiful state.
I know. I was hoping I'd be able to see you there. Well, it just didn't work out with my schedule because I saw that.
Okay. Great. Yeah.
Will, how did you find yourself at Kapali Rum? Tell us a little bit about how you ended up there.
Yeah, well, I'm born and raised here in Southern Belize, and I've always been like a lover of nature. I like to be outside, and we started off, like I'm also known as like somebody that cares for nature, cares for the environment, and we had this amount of land that was an old citrus grove. And we were thinking, like, if we're going to do so, we want to do something for the community. We didn't want to just go and build, like, you know, turn it into a housing project or anything like that. We wanted something where the community could feel proud of. Yeah, we didn't want to poison our planet, poison our soils with chemicals. And that's the only way citrus is growing these days if you're going to make a profit. So, you know, thinking back, growing up, just like, you know, born and raised, just a few miles from where the first bottle of rum was produced in Belize. This was way back in the early 1900s. We're thinking, let's do something where we could employ the community. It will benefit the planet as well. Because when I say that, it's because if we do any kind of cane farming, we promised ourselves we won't put any chemicals into the soil. So we use regenerative agriculture, a lot of composting, and at the same time, we're hiring a lot of people because it's a more hands-on. So the community is very much involved, very much a part of what we do. It's not like one big operation comes in and just, you know, use a lot of mechanicals and make a clean sweep. No, the community is an integral part of our rum making business. And then the fact that we have a distillery right in the community, right in the cane fields, we reduce a lot of the emissions. That way we don't have to be transporting canes over long periods of time to get to the mill. And the distillery is designed as a zero waste distillery. So everything that we crush in there, we put back into the fields as organic fertilizer. So it's just, you know, it's a really cool place. Cool to see it happening. And I even feel more blessed when that is happening because more and more schools are coming to learn about this.
Well, you mentioned emissions there, and I want to jump into all things emissions and life cycle analyses. But before we kind of dive into those weeds, could you tell us a little bit more about Kapali Rum, when Kapali was started? And I know a little bit about Kapali. I know it's a pretty short list of ingredients, and I know a little bit about the process. But could you tell me a little bit more?
Yeah. Like you say, it's a short list of ingredients. Last night, we got an abundance of ingredients, like almost 7 inches of rainfall. Our rum is made with Toledo's rainwater, the cane juice, and non-GMO yeast. So those are three simple ingredients that makes our rum. And then you asked another question. That was two questions. What was the other one? Sorry about that.
Yeah, when was Kapali started?
Okay, yeah. So, you know, to build a distillery took a long time. So maybe a couple of years, because we are in a very remote part of Belize. So we had to bring in a lot of the equipment, and to put it together took a couple of years. So we actually have been, I would say, between 7 and 8 years now that we have actually been making the good spirits.
Awesome.
Amazing. And Will, you've been there from the beginning. You're a co-founder, is that correct?
Yeah, I've been there from the beginning. Like, you know, like I like to say, I've hunted and fished this property all my life. Like, you know, all my food have always come from around my surroundings, you know. Go down to the river. We have a beautiful river there. It's one of the most important watershed that feeds out into the Caribbean Sea and protects the reef. So if we have to make sure that the river is always protected. That, so that has been one of my main focus as well. I do a lot of things that relate to the environment, as like I've always said and done. So it was important for me that while we are planting sugarcane, that runoffs and things like that are not going to harm the river. To answer your question, I'd say about 7 years ago, we probably tasted our first rum from that. And, you know, a little bit of history is the fact that in the same very cane field that we have today, like my grandmother worked there, well, different owners at the time, right? But the first, like I say, sugar and rum was first produced in this part of Belize and up until the 70s, and then everything had moved up north. To northern Belize. So there was nothing here for this community, you know? So it's really good to see that we've brought back an industry that's an original industry. It's just like great all around. People are happy. Like I said, the community feel a part of it. One of the things I'm most proud of to say is that I would say like 99.9% of our workforce lives within a 20-mile radius, you know, born and raised in the area as well. We have one master distiller who is Lorenzo. He came to us via Jamaica. I think he's originally Italian, something else, but he's been living in Jamaica. And from Jamaica, he swam across the ocean to where we are today.
Well, he does a great job. I bought for my mother, for her birthday last year, I bought her a couple bottles of Kopali rum, and I kept one bottle for myself. And it is really, really amazing stuff. So Lorenzo's doing a great job.
Yeah. We're happy with him. What kind did you keep for yourself?
I'm a big whiskey guy, so I kept the barrel aged one for myself. And I've actually got another bottle I bought of the cacao nibs infused rum, and that one's really, really great too.
Great. I like that cacao nibs one with the, first thing in the morning, put in my coffee. cacao and coffee goes great. Especially I say, hey, if I lived in America in a cold climate, that would be how I start my day with my hot chocolate with some cacao Kopali in there.
No kidding. Now I might know what I'm doing tomorrow morning now. Now, well, clearly you value sustainability a lot. Can you tell us a little bit more about why it's so important to you and why Kopali values sustainability so much? And then we can kind of dive into the data that we've pulled together and some of this life cycle analysis stuff.
Okay, yeah. Why it's like important to me is because like I have nowhere to go, man. I'm here. I'm born here. I'm raised here. I'm going to die here. My kids are here. Family is here. This is us. And if we don't take care of it, and you stand around and look around and you've seen the damage to the Australian Barrier Reef. We know that Belize have the second largest barrier reef and might be the largest living barrier reef right now. And one of the reasons for that is because like we put extra care into taking care of the reef. But a lot of people don't really understand that the reef is nothing if the watershed is not there, if the rivers are not there, and if the rivers are not clean enough, you know. I mean, one of the big impacts around the world right now, especially in the Caribbean, I'm not so sure if you have that in Florida a lot, but a lot of sargassum are floating up to the seashores. And that's as a result of runoff, you know. So when we minimize that, we minimize those sargassum washing up, which also is not too healthy for the environment. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would argue we haven't done a great job of taking care of our reefs here in Florida, although, you know, we try and I hope we get better at it.
But you know, it's good to make that connection that, hey, the reef is out there. It's 20, 30 miles offshore from where we're at. But hey, it's so important. And to know that what we do here impacts what happens out there.
Definitely, 100%. I mean, even I've got a new background, actually, for folks who are seeing the video here. I've got a fish behind me. Fishing is what kind of got me into, you know, sustainability and even agriculture. And where I'm at in Minnesota, we've got our own environmental issues. Eutrophication is you know, one of the kind of scary terms that we throw around as it relates to excess fertilizer use and how it can impact waterways. And ultimately, you know, I'm up in Minnesota, pretty close to the Mississippi. All of that water is flowing right into, you know, the Gulf of Mexico. And so it's pretty important that we maintain that water even up north here, because it's going to impact everybody downstream. Now, Will, we've got you on here on the Earth Optics Grounded podcast. So there's got to be some relationship between Kapali Rum and Earth Optics. Can you help us understand a little bit more what we've been doing together?
Yeah, big up, like they say in Belize, big up, big respect to the guys that over there at Earth Optics. They're very patient guys over there. And, you know, we've developed a relationship with them over the years that summer doesn't begin here in Belize until Earth Optics shows up. So my man David and occasionally B will show up and, you know, they work with us. We go out there and do the soil testing to make sure that what we're saying, we're not just BSing out there. You know, if we say we're like retrieving carbon, we are. And that's where Earth Optics come in to make sure they come here. They do some soil samples. I think some of those soil samples actually end up in Minnesota for testing to make sure that the soils that we are protecting and preserving here are actually sucking in the emissions, you know, it's storing them, the carbon. It's storing the carbon instead of emitting it. So for every bottle of rum that we produce, which would emit 1.5 kg into the atmosphere, we retrieve 5.5. So we're actually, like, you know, that's what makes us a negative, because we bring in more than we put out when it comes to the carbon.
That's amazing. I mean, that's the first spirit that's been proven to be actually pulling more carbon into the soil than it's emitting. I mean, basically, by buying a bottle of Kapali rum, you're doing more for the environment than passing it up and buying any other bottle on the shelf, right?
Exactly. I mean, every cocktail you have is helping the planet.
That's
so
awesome.
Why not, if you're going to have a cocktail, why not a Kapali cocktail, you know?
Why and not again, a Kapali cocktail?
Yeah.
That's amazing. So we've actually been coming down to Belize, down to Kapali Rum, pulling soil samples and running those. And I think we've been doing that for, is it 2 years now? 3 years?
3 years. Four years, probably. Probably 4 years.
Yeah, it goes quick.
Yeah.
And so the results of that have basically proven that. Well, I guess let's take a step back. So what does the farming operation look like at Kapali Rum? Is it just a bunch of sugarcane and that's it? Or is there other stuff going on? What exactly does it actually look like there if I were to kind of walk around and tour it?
Yeah, I hope you guys do make a trip down here, man. It's worth it, you know? I hope you all come. It's not just growing sugarcane. I mean, one of the things about our sugarcane, you'll see a lot of sugarcane. Everybody tries to, who are into the commercial and who are into making sugar out of sugarcane. We don't make sugar out of sugarcane. Our sugarcane goes directly from sugarcane juice to the distillery for distillation. But one of the cool things that I like is that we keep the biodiversity around. Like, you'll see a huge tree inside or near our sugarcane fields. People are like, why don't you just cut that, you know, get a few more cane? No, because those trees host the raptors, which picks up the snake that our workers don't get bitten by snakes. So we have instead of spraying the field or burning the field, most people burn their field, you know. We don't burn our field. We go in there. We cut the cane. We are proud to put our hand in the soil because we know it's clean soil. It's not like, you know, soil that you have to use a gloves in because there's no chemicals in there. But yeah, We have the sugarcane field. We have a beautiful rainforest right next to the field. And actually, we work, we're tied in, well, not really tied in, but alongside our neighbors is Toledo Institute for Development and Environment Tide, who have thousands of acres of rainforest. We at Kopali have helped them to protect that. We also have over 12,000 acres of rainforest next to our sugarcane field. So all that one could see and experience and see the benefits that we're contributing to this wonderful world of ours, you know. There's a lodge. It's called Kopal Tree Lodge, right? Walking distance from the cane field. And everything, I would say, 80% of what you eat there, especially when it comes to greens and stuff, comes from our farm. We have an organic farm that produces tomatoes and a lot of other greens, collard greens and callaloos and things like that. Then we have our farm where we raise our own chickens. Our chickens are out there eating the grass. They help to control the amount of grass that grows there. So we have free-ranging chickens and lamb. So, you know, a lamb burger at Kopal Tree Restaurant is no ordinary burger.
So you've got the Kopal Tree, it sounds like an eco lodge that you said is walking distance from the cane field.
From the cane field.
The rum.
Yeah, walking distance. And right there at the bottom of the hill, the lodge is actually on a hill, is the garden that grows almost everything that you eat there, you know. So we have the cane field, we have the distillery, and we have the eco lodge. And like again, I say this distillery. Most distilleries in the world, most rum producing distilleries, they don't even see the cane fields. A lot of them don't even like people work there and don't even know what a sugar cane look like, you know?
Yeah,
they
I mean
just
that's
like, you know.
That's amazing. So you've got like really this closed loop system.
Exactly.
All the way around. Yeah, that's amazing. One of the things that you've touched on quite a bit, I mean, from just like amazing to have, I think you said your grandmother worked, you know, these fields at a different time in history, but, and you've highlighted like since we started talking, I think one of the first things out was like the community, you know, 99% of the workforce is coming from the local community. So you're getting sustainability like right into the bottle. You're getting sustainability for the guests that come and visit the lodge. You've got a garden. But talk more about the community. Like, what has this shift been like since Kopali kind of entered the scene?
Yeah, well, I mean, as you know, commercialization, like everywhere else in the world, have hit us. And one of the first thing that we had to do a lot of education on, because Belize from way back in the 60s and up until the 70s was mostly organic. We never knew about fertilizers, right? Then came in foreign agencies and start dumping fertilizers. Hey, this will grow your vegetables better. Start using that. And people kind of like got dependent on that. Big banana plantations came in and they start, people, their bananas like was on steroids. People were like, hey, we better use those chemicals, you know? Not only to realize that later on, we realized that those were damaging the planet. So re-educating our people working on the farm, getting them to understand the idea of regenerative agriculture was definitely a whole classroom, you know. So it was good to see that we are bringing back and we have brought back that that sense of community, and people like in there could do their backyard gardening without using chemicals, creating a composting pile. Most people, I could remember like going to the garbage dump and 70% of that could have been composted, you know. But again, we had to work on really educating the public. People think things that comes in a can is better because it comes from a first world country. We had to shift that mentality. Had to tell them that if it comes in a can, it's cancerous. You know, that's what they're shipping here. So we had to do a lot with that. But, you know, when we start like taking out the citrus groves and we're like doing this cane and getting the community involved, I could remember, man, everybody was like basically hitchhiking and walking to work. And after a couple of months, you should see the amount of bicycles like was coming in, you know, so everybody could have afforded a bicycle. And I mean, like, it's great to see that because right away you're knowing the impact that you're having on the community. Then a few, like a year later, and so everybody had like a little scooter, a little motorbike coming to work. And now people have cars coming to work. So You know, I mean, we educate about, you know, those things also do have their impacts on the environment. So let's use them and use them wisely and use them cautiously. And but it's good to see, right? We have a lot of people who, because of what we're doing, first generation high schoolers, these people have not been able to send their kids to school. You know, I mean, you could talk to some of the workers like, hey, we have a lot of kids because they help to like cut down the forest so we could feed ourselves. Today, that mentality is shifting, you know. Yes, a lot of the guys that work for us, a lot of them have kids who have graduated this year, first generation graduation from high school. Lots of them are going on to higher education. Another thing, like with Kapal, you know, we have like a fund that we help the community. Like I say, we don't give like a full scholarship to every community member. We can't do that. It's just not that's just not financially feasible. But because of us, like, you know, some kid might need like a bus fare to jump on the bus to go to another village or another town to take their exams, but they can't afford that bus fare. We will give them that bus fare. Some people might be short of just like, hey, in college, and this has happened over and over again, they're in college and can't get their final report card because a bill hadn't been paid. Well, we didn't like pay their entire tuition, but we paid that bill that allowed them to get their report card so that they could move on. So, you know, it's these little things that we do that gives big results. And, you know, I mean, it's always great to see that happening.
Definitely. I mean, outside of producing really, really amazing rum, you're just producing a great, great community and culture, or helping, you know, kind of uphold that great community there. So that's really, really exciting to see or hear
yeah,
about.
We have a health clinic that actually is staffed a lot by volunteers from the U.S. Who comes down here, and they would go into remote villages that the doctors, the Belizean doctors, will not ever go. But this clinic is a goodwill clinic from America. Actually, it's from your rival over there at Minnesota. They're from Wisconsin. A lot of them come over there. And they go to these remote villages and give medical attention. We don't buy their vehicles, but we help them buy the fuel so that they can reach to these destinations, you know? Again, it's a little help that we give to make they have these big impacts. So as a result, many people who would never have seen a doctor in years are now seeing a doctor, are now getting some therapy or something like that, some physical therapy. Some people hurt themselves and they can't get to a doctor. This clinic, Hillside Clinic, will go there and do that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that my dad, both my dad and my sister are emergency medicine physicians and have spent a good deal of time in South America at clinics that sound similar to that. And it always amazed me, like, what we take for granted in the States, but like some of the biggest hitting items were like glasses, you know, like people just are nearsighted or farsighted and don't have access to reading glasses. Yeah. And so they bring a bunch of these down. And I don't know, someone in the States where like you can get those at any corner drugstore, they exist all over the place. I don't think, you know, they're hard to come by, but I was like, wow, that's such a thing you take for granted and don't think.
Yeah. I mean, like, imagine being able to see because you get a pair of glasses. I mean, a lot of people walking around and their visions are limited, but you give them a glasses. And yeah, that's another thing that happens here a lot. And even sometimes they'll bring in the dental people to, you know, most people don't get to the dentist, you know, but yeah, it's great working hand in hand around, you know, around the world, and to have these people from the U.S. or sometimes from England and other places come in, and they actually, you know, volunteer their time. So I'm glad when you can get the rum in the United States of America. I feel like, look, giving back to America a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of, where can you find Kapali rum here in the States? I know you can order it online because that's what I've done in the past, but where is it in stores?
Yeah, you can find it in the United States. I think we are right now in 8 states: California, New York, Florida. Right there.
Oh.
Yeah, Florida, Nevada, Louisiana. Yeah, so we're Michigan. Yeah, we're in those states there. And hopefully that we continue to grow the brand, continue more people order it. There's a demand for it that we could get it going in Chicago. That's what I'd like to see it there. Minneapolis, I'd like to see it there,
Yep.
in those cities. So as we grow, hopefully that the number of states grow as well.
Well, yeah, and
As
it's really nice that you can order it online too.
yeah.
Because me in Minnesota, I can't find it in stores in my state just yet, but makes it pretty easy to get my hands on some bottles and try it out. It's definitely worth it for all of the listeners out there. It is high quality rum, tastes amazing, and you're doing a lot of good for the planet too. So exciting stuff. Will,
Yeah.
what other kind of projects or initiatives do you have going on in Belize or at Capali Rum?
Well, what we have going on, we like I say, working a lot with the fishermen to improve the fishing in the area. We're known as the permit capital of the world. Permit is this elusive fish that people from all over the world come to catch here. So we always try to work with the fishermen in the area to improve the whole ecosystem. We have some groups that they call themselves the Eco Warriors, and they are always cleaning up the river. I went kayaking last Sunday, and it's good to be on the river for hours and not seeing a plastic bottle floating by or not passing a floating by. So I know that our assistance to these groups are really making a difference, So we have the farm. We have okay, and the local high school here, there's the kind of alternative high school where people who had to drop out of school because of financial reasons or some other reasons couldn't finish. But there's a school that's called the Toledo Community College, and we assist them so that people could go back to school and finish their education. Because you can't join the police, or you can't join the most. Or get into nursing if you don't have a high school diploma at least, So we help them to we help the school to give more and more assistance to students so that students could come in. Like the school now have a policy that they will never turn back a student. That's due to Kopali.
That's amazing. The list is long. The list of places, both big and small, it sounds like that you all have plugged into the community is pretty amazing, pretty spectacular.
Now, Will, we've kind of briefed on some of the life cycle analysis stuff, but can you help us understand a little bit more, just so all the listeners have the full picture? So we did a full cradle to grave life cycle analysis together, and we did that in conjunction with a third party verification body as well. And I believe that was Preferred by Nature. Can you tell us a little bit about the involvement of Preferred by Nature and just kind of what the whole process looked like?
Like I said, we work with these great scientists over there at Earth Optics, and they come down and they do it. They're in the field. They're not like just like sitting at the room or anything like that. I drag them in the field. It's 90 degrees there, and they're in there, and they're like digging into the soil and doing these tests to show that we're actually like retrieving carbon. And then they write their reports. They do that. So and Preferred by Nature come and verify. So it's an additional kind of insurance to say, hey, these guys at Earth Optics, what they say is so. They are actually doing that. I mean, you could go to our distillery. I mean, we do everything there. We use 100% recycled glass bottles, beautiful bottles. You have one at home there, right? Glass, recycled glass bottles. We do all the packaging. All our packaging are from recycled materials. We do that right there inside. So we reduce as much the emissions as we possibly can. Not to say that we don't have like a few tractors and things like that, but we use those as minimally just when we really need them. And then the vinasse, which is like a liquid that comes after you crush the cane and everything like that, that we have a tractor that picks that up and put that right back into the field. So the whole life cycle, it's a total ecosystem right there. It's a distillery is designed as a zero waste distillery. So everything is like, there's zero waste, no waste, goes back into the cane field. Our packaging is right there. Our bottling is right there. Everything is there. So we don't like outsource a lot of this. Of course, we could probably increase our profit if we outsource this to Guatemala, let them do the bottling things and stuff like that. But no, we want to make sure that we are concerned about the planet here.
Got it. So you're looking at everything in the soil, all emissions factors. You're looking at everything essentially.
Yeah, everything. And like I say, you know, I want to be able, when I go into town and get a cocktail, a Copali cocktail, I want to make sure that, like, hey, I could defend it. I want to make sure that people who order it are proud to order our rum because it is a good rum.
Yeah. So just to for our listeners, like when you say cradle to grave, Gunnar, and when we're talking about all these different pieces, like we're talking about from how the ingredients are farmed that go into the rum, how they distill those, which Will has touched on a lot, everything that it takes to make that, all the way through packaging, distribution, and then, you know, at the end how they dispose of all the kind of extra pieces. So cradle to grave really means from beginning to end of that product's life cycle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Not closing your eyes and shipping it off and not knowing what happens, but really,
really
having an idea.
Yeah, we also have, you know, that cacao. We have like one of the biggest organic cacao fields, which is cacao is the tree that grows the fruit that makes the chocolate. And so we also, I mean, we could like always go elsewhere for that, but we're growing our own right there. We do buy some from the community, so we support local farmers. So, but they also have to be certified organic because we want to make sure. So we do support local farmers by buying some of their beans, but we got to make sure that those are certified organic. And the more we do that, the more there's a demand for Copali, the more we could help these farmers working with them to be certified organic so we could buy more.
Awesome. That's really, really cool.
So, you know, when you drink a cacao Copali out there, you're not just like, it's not just about Copali, it's got far-reaching effects to other farmers as well, helping the farmer out there, really.
Mm-hmm. Now, Will, you've clearly kind of taken the initiative to, you know, go after a bunch of issues you see, whether it's at a very, very local level or a little bit larger scale. What sort of issues still kind of keep you up at night, whether it's environmental, social, anything? You know, what do you have kind of on mind for your next project?
The oceans, the forests and the oceans, you know, I'm sitting right here and I'm within an hour of 17 million people in Guatemala. I'm within an hour and a half of 5 to 7 million people in Honduras. So the grass is definitely greener on this side. So besides Copali, I have another group that's called the Territorial Volunteers, and we're kind of like the watchdogs of the environment here in southern Belize. So we go out there at night, and we'll monitor for illegal fishing and illegal logging. I'll come back up. I'll come in after that and, you know, expose it so that people could know, hey, the government, you need to like be doing what you're supposed to be doing, protecting these resources. That's why we're paying our taxes. So I do a lot of activism like that. But of course, the fishing grounds, making sure we protect our fishing flats. That has been a big, as you know, people like think, hey, I have nothing against tourism, but if tourism is going to come, it better be in a sustainable way. We don't want to just dredge up our bonefish flats so that there can be white sandy beaches for somebody to sit on. Now, we want to make sure it's done in harmony with the environment. So, yeah, I spend a lot of my time. I lobby, you know, the government to try and get legislation passed so that we could have these things set in stone.
You kicked off the call, Will, by saying that you're a nature lover, but you're clearly so much more than just a nature lover, right? That might be the basis for it, but it sounds like you're in politics, you're in activism, and like really putting your actions where your mouth is when it comes to Copali and your community.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, definitely. I'm out there. Like I said, I might not be the most liked guy in town, but at least you know what I'm thinking.
Definitely. Now, Will, I've got one more really, really important question for you. And I'm sure Piper might have another one, but what is your favorite way to enjoy Copali rum? What's your favorite cocktail? What's your favorite type of rum that Copali produces? How do you like to enjoy it?
Yeah, I get that question asked all the time. My favorite, first of all, which one of the three rum is my favorite? And I like to say it depends on the time of the day. Yeah, no, I like hanging out at the bars, local bars in town, meeting the people, drinking. My favorite is a ginger mojito. It's got a white rum with ginger and some ginger and some simple syrup, cane syrup in it, a lot of ice, or just, I just like to do a tonic with that rested rum, with lots of lime on a hot day. It's pretty refreshing. Yeah, I like the cacao, like I say, if it's a cool morning, starting off in the morning, but now I like the cacao with ginger ale and a squeeze of lime, a lot of ice. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
That's
David told
awesome.
me about one that was made with mango, something with mango in it, and he said it was
Yes, he's
his
David. That's
favorite.
David. That's the David Colada, they call it. It's got mango.
Colada.
The David Colada. It's actually, you can ask any of the bartenders over there at the lodge, and they're like, it's a David, and they finish it with Colada.
Really?
Yeah.
That's David Murr, our chief data scientist, everyone who has been down in to Kapali and has pulled some of the soil samples that have informed this life cycle analysis we just completed. So amazing. The David Collada. We'll have to try it.
Yeah,
yeah.
for
5 o'clock
sure.
can't come soon enough.
Yes.
Well, is there before we break here, is there anything else that you can share with us about Kapali? Anything that we missed today?
I think that we covered pretty much most of it. I just like to know that I'm involved with rum, spirit that we want to raise the bar in the. We don't want to be the only one that's producing rum like this. We want everybody in the spirit industries to be kinder to the planet. We want people to, if we're gonna drink some rum, let it be a good rum, a rum that's kind to the planet. And like I say, I don't only want Kapali to be the one that's doing a carbon negative rum. I'd like to see it done all over, any other spirit. And we're opened up to, we recently last year, American sugar refineries had, like, they are one of the biggest sugar makers in the world. I think they're based out of Florida. Some of their guys came down to our field because they were impressed with the way we were growing cane. We were getting good returns on our acreage without using chemicals.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So that alone says a lot. So we have had people coming in to see the kind of agricultural practices that we do. Last week, I had a school that came all the way from Belize City just to visit because they've heard about the amazing work that we're doing in the sugarcane field. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you've got the right attitude, I think, which is that, you're not the only spirit company, you're the first spirit company that's really done this and made these claims and proven them with legitimate data. But yeah, you're proving that there is a path for other companies to do the same and prove that there's, a more sustainable and responsible way to create really, really amazing stuff. So that's exciting. Well, it was an absolute pleasure to have you on here. I hope we can have you on again soon when we got a little bit more to talk about, even though this was really, really awesome. So, for all of our listeners out there, if you could like, share, leave a positive review. Piper, is there anything else that we'd like to say?
No, I'm just going to say head to kapalirum.com. I hopped over there just while we've been talking, Will, and there is a spot called the Bohemian in just 20 minutes from my house that serves Kapali rum, so I know where I'm going for dinner and drinks this weekend.
Okay.
Amazing. They've got recipes, they've got the story, more about Will, more about the business. So kapalirum.com. And then you can read more about the life cycle analysis on our LinkedIn. We've got a post there kind of detailing the work we've done together.
Awesome.
Great.
Thanks again, Will.
All
Stay
right.
grounded, everybody.
Thanks for
Thanks.
joining us, Will.
Hey,
Stay
it's a
grounded.
pleasure. Happy Friday.